time to talk business and finance, and here to break down the numbers and the stories of the week is Sarah Dankert. She's a business reporter for The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald. Sarah, welcome.
G'day, hey Kay, how are you?
Oh, excited to hang out with you again. Now, breaking news today, the RBA has kept interest rates on hold at 0.75%. Are we surprised?
I think there was a lot of that expected in the market, but we never know where it's going to go. Some of the data recently has been really weak, and I think the governor's been sort of, you know, tentatively sort of leaving the door open for a rate cut in the future, but also at the same time indicating that he won't. Earlier, he's used the phrase that we're at a gentle turning point in the economy. It's quite gentle. The turn is very gentle. If you talk to people down on the street, it's very gentle. But so there are, I guess, some green shoots or things not getting as bad as what it was. Yeah, that's where we're at right now. The big question is what will happen next year? And they probably won't cut rates until next year. But who knows? If the Christmas sales are really, really bad, well, then they'll have a meeting in early January and they might cut rates again then. Yeah,
and that brings us to, you know, you mentioned Christmas, and that brings us to spending, and that brings us to retail. Mm. Boom, boom. Because today there is more on this. Retail volume in the third quarter has fallen by 0.1% against market expectations of 0.2% increase. How did the markets get it so wrong?
I think, well, people were hoping that more of the tax cuts would be spent. And I think we've seen some data coming through that showed that the amount of tax cuts that we're expecting in that sort of, you know, the big bulk of us who are in that large cohort of the who got the tax cuts, they were expected to get about $1,000. And that's turned out to be about $420. And it's a funny thing. It's a bit of a psychology as well. The more you tell people that the economy is going badly, the more everyone goes, well, maybe I should save. Maybe I should pay off my credit card. Maybe I should, you know, just make sure in case I don't have as many shifts next week. So it's this, I guess, quite a negative feedback loop where you tell people everything's going poorly and everyone goes, okay, well, I'll act as though things are going poorly then.
Well, that brings me to the way the Treasurer has been talking, and that's his argument against Labor, actually. He says don't talk the economy down, and he's the, you know, cheerleader for the economy. That's back to that psychological game, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think that's why you've got, you know, Philip Lowe, the governor of the RBA, talking about this gentle turning point. It's to put us into a mindset that go out, spend your money, buy some Christmas presents. Everything's going better. There's still weakness in the job markets. There's still a lot of global what's going to happen with trade wars. So I think people are not being silly in not throwing all of their money into a shopping till. But I do totally understand why Lowe and Frydenberg have to talk up the economy. Another thing that's interesting is two of the banks have reported this week, ANZ and Westpac, and they're reporting that fewer people are asking for loans. So maybe the Royal Commission scared people into thinking it'd be too hard to get a loan. Maybe there's a bit too much negative, you know, psychology going through here. It's at some point, well, you know, it should lift up, but we're going to head towards a surplus. Maybe that'll be positive. It's. I guess we're in a sort of a state of flux right now.
Yeah, we are. So it's estimated about 60% of the tax refunds have arrived in people's bank accounts. Mm. So still 40% to come. Will it make much of a difference for the fourth quarter?
I don't know. People do tend to spend more in the fourth quarter. There's all those reasons like Christmas. There's other things that are exposed to the retail sector like travel. You might go down the beach for a week and you'll eat out more often, for instance. So there's those things that help to kick the economy along in those summer periods. But it's unclear whether that'll be enough. It's whether people will pocket those tax cuts or whether they'll spend it. I'm hopeful that there'll be some more spending. Companies like JB Hi-Fi have had some really strong results recently, so it's not all dire. Mm. Some of the sales showed some areas booming, like in Victoria, clothes did really, really well, whereas people in New South Wales are spending less on booze. So it's sort of, you know, a bit all over the place.
Mm, and perhaps less on gambling too, but that's another issue that we might like touch on again tomorrow after the Melbourne Cup, see how those gambling figures have gone. Mm. Let's just talk about Saudi oil. Talk me through this story.
So this is Aramco. It's been the longest awaited float in the world. The Saudi Arabians have been planning to float their national oil company for years. They've been scouting out London, New York, Hong Kong, where shall we list? And in the end, they've decided to list in Riyadh because it's nice and safe and close to home. At the moment, the headline figure for the company is worth $2 trillion. That's how big this company is. And they're only going to float 1%. So the Saudis will retain 99% of the company and you can get in 1%. It's about $20 billion they're looking to raise. That's US. So it's a serious amount of money. You could say that there's positives with this float. A colleague at work today was saying, oh, it's a monopoly. No one's ever going to compete with you. It's a license to print money owning shares in this company. But you got to think, why don't they want to list in London? Why don't they want to list in New York?
Well, that is the natural question. They've listed, as you say, in Riyadh. Why?
Governance and transparency. The London Stock Exchange, the New York Stock Exchange, like our own, have expectations that the companies will, you know, tell us when things have gone wrong, and there's punishments when they don't. So you get a whole lot of governance and compliance in, and I reckon they're pretty confident that they're going to be able to tap these markets, this equity market, from Riyadh, because there's so many people who want their black gold to actually get in on that.
Yeah. So 1%, as you say, just 1%, is it that sort of their way of testing the waters, then ratcheting it up?
I think there will be plans to increase it over time, but it's still a good play for most people. But $20 billion for us in Australia is a decent-sized company. But, I mean, it's, you know, a Commonwealth Bank is much larger than that, for instance. So the actual floated amount will be quite small. And I imagine that as it performs well, the demand will be there. They'll issue more stock and more people will buy on in. I mean, they're the companies, though, that don't have the environmental, social governance concerns that some funds do. We've heard a lot about that in Australia. And so that might prohibit some investment in that stock.
Do you think the discussion around climate change at the moment will ward off any potential investors? Is that another issue?
Well, I think it'll definitely stop some of our big companies like Australian Super. I don't know if AMP is big enough anymore, but some of our big private investment houses like Colonial, it might prohibit them from going in. But there's enough big investment houses in the world that don't have those concerns. There are some investment funds that literally focus on what they call sin stocks. They will invest in all the casinos and all the oil in the world.
Sin stocks. Well, it's been a day of sin. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Sarah Dankert there. That was, of course, a reference to the Melbourne Cup. Business and journalist, writer for The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald. It's news time now at 7.